It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for May 20th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. We're at an important moment for data surveillance in the United States. The way that the government does surveillance now stops cold on June 1st, depending on how Congress votes on two pieces of legislation. Tomorrow, the Senate will likely consider scaling back surveillance with a law called the USA Freedom Act. It has bipartisan support, but it also has a powerful foe in the Senate chamber. Here's Harley Geiger, senior counsel at the Center for Democracy and Technology.
The decision largely rests with Mr. McConnell. If the Senate Majority Leader whips his caucus against the USA Freedom Act, the USA Freedom Act is at very high risk of not getting the 60 votes it needs to actually get to the Senate floor for a vote.
McConnell wants instead to extend what's called Section 215 of the Patriot Act, which is set to expire on June 1st. If he blocks surveillance rollback tomorrow, Congress heads to Memorial Day recess and won't take things up again until the very same day when Section 215 of the Patriot Act is set to expire.
The next time that the House is scheduled to vote is the evening of June 1st. And by then, Section 215 will have sunset. And so the vote that the House would be facing at that point is not a mere extension of Section 215. It would be to place the Patriot Act authorities back into law after they've already become defunct.
Put simply, it's not easy for Congress to re-adopt the surveillance part of the Patriot Act after it expires. We'll keep you up to date. The Ad Tech Conference kicks off in San Francisco today. Part of it will be about targeting people from Generation Z, which, depending on your definition, were either born in the mid-1990s or sometime after. And a message will be that brands need to be careful about not screwing up when trying to use phrases like bae. Your stuff as a brand needs to be always on fleek, which FYI means on point. Karen North is professor of communication at USC Annenberg. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
The deal is you take the most shots, you make the most baskets. Is that what we're talking about here, even if your misses are total airballs?
I think that the reason that there are so many of these programs popping up where people can learn how to speak better for their brands is because we've started to recognize that the misses really do matter.
Do you think that the challenge for companies is bigger than it used to be?
Well, I mean, there's a trade-off. So it used to be that people advertised, let's say, on television. So then your question is, how do you speak to a whole bunch of different audiences all at the same time? And now the question is, now you can find your audience, so it's much more segmented, but now you have to be really sharp on each section that you talk to.
You have to create a native ad within the platform that all of these people are hanging out and communicating on.
And you know, by the way, there's nothing new about having to shift in this way. You know, if you think about it, like one of my favorite comparisons is when politicians would travel across the country on train, they could say a different thing on each stop, and they could contradict themselves. And now, because everything is on television and online, they have to be consistent.
That's a really interesting idea, that brands increasingly are having to be sort of really specific, yet really consistent.
Well, I mean, one of the most fascinating things about our time is that we all really do have to be who we are, or else we get caught being fake. And it puts everybody, both personally and professionally, in a bit of a quandary that, you know, how do I promote myself or my product in the way that I need to strategically while still being who I am?
Karen North is professor of communication and director of the Digital Social Media Program at USC Annenberg. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Video gamers are kind of like metalheads. They care a lot about their culture and their rules. For many gamers, there are certain things you just don't do. So when game platform Steam made a change recently to how it deals with so-called mods or game modifications, it was only a matter of days before it walked those changes back. Rich McCormick wrote about this for The Verge. Let's start with a definition of mods.
Modifications are changed versions of the main game, and they can be very small things. They could be things like maybe you change the skin of an enemy in the game, or they can be big things like whole new levels, whole new stages to games.
Bring us up to speed on the latest news here. Valve did something else in order to start to build a marketplace for mods.
Yeah, so Valve, in very late April, decided that they would allow people who made mods, that people could then ask them for money to be charged for mods. And that caused quite a stir among the community. It's kind of anathema to...
Why?
There's no single reason. It's hard to say, oh, this is the reason why, but... coming at it from various different angles. People who play games, if you're not buying new games every month, mods can keep games alive for a very long time. A good example is Skyrim. That game came out in, 4 years ago now, and it's been kept alive by mod makers who've added things. Like, one of my favourite mods on it adds Thomas the Tank Engine. It replaces all the game's dragons, these giant dragons, with Thomas the Tank Engine instead.
It does seem like something that it takes a lot of time, it takes some effort, and... there does seem to be some kind of market for it, right? Even though Valve has now walked back their earlier decision.
I mean, there's a very clear analog with Steam itself. Steam also has the marketplace where you can make nice designs for Dota and make new headdresses and things like that that you can give your characters, purely cosmetic things that in the olden days would be considered mods but are sold through the item marketplace. And if you come at it empirically and look at it from afar, the item marketplace and the mod marketplace that was brought up and quickly shut down aren't that dissimilar.
Rich McCormick writes for The Verge. Rich, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.